I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Mo, make it make sense. Dad leaves his own daughter's birthday because of what's on her cake?
He was furious. Furious at what was on her cake to the point where they're not even speaking right now. And when I got this story, I was a bit shocked because I thought it was a no-brainer as to if a dad would feel disrespected in this situation. But from the comments, it seemed pretty down the middle for girl dads. And I'm curious as to what y'all think. So I found out about this story from one of my friends who does a podcast. And I can't remember if he said he knew the dad personally or not. But either way, I've never heard of anything like this happening at a birthday party. So it's one of those parties where it's her birthday and it's like a split party. So she has friends there. She has family there. I don't think she had coworkers there, but I know it was friends and family for sure.
You're melding two groups together.
Exactly. And they're celebrating. And at the end of the party, they had two cakes. There's a story that only one cake was supposed to be opened at a certain time. And the other cake was supposed to be opened at another time. But somehow, some way, both of these cakes were open for everybody there to see.
And I'm assuming one cake came from the friend group and the other cake came from the family group.
Bingo.
Okay.
So the cake that came from the friend group was one of her best friends. And I guess this is just a thing that they do. And the best friend wrote on the cake, "Happy birthday to my girl with the best blank ever."
The best blank ever.
Ew.
Like below the belt?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yes. On the cake. Right. And it didn't have any pictures. That's all it said. Just words.
I
guess that was important. It is a compliment for sure. Right. So at first it was like, ha, ha, ha. But then at some point when dad saw it, he was steaming. He did not think that it was appropriate. Now, she's 27, so I guess that's where the debate comes in. She's not a child, obviously. She is a grown woman. Mm-hmm. And when dad saw the cake, he was like, why would you do this? Like, what are you doing? You have family here, me and your mother are here. And she's like, first of all, I didn't know.
Yeah, it's her birthday.
She was going to do this.
She like, didn't I get didn't, her own birthday cake.
Right. Like, I didn't, why are you upset with me? And he's like, because your wife, he's just upset. And he's going off, apparently. And she was like, dad, you tripping. I love you, but you need to dial it back. I'm a grown woman. It's all in fun.
It's a joke.
Right. You're tripping. Mom was like in the middle of it, from what I get. She was kind of like, because the mom got to deal with dad now. But I don't think mom was as offended as dad was.
It's a joke. And I can respect some people find some jokes funny. Some people mm-hmm. find some jokes not, right? So I can understand the parents being, if they're a little more on the conservative side or whatever, and that they, you know, a clutch of pearls moment and, you know, that's my daughter and I don't want to think about, like, you know, I can respect all that. And I can even respect them being a little comfortable, maybe a little bit miffed. But to ruin her birthday party and make a big stink there, that's something where, you know, like, all right, rationale, it's a joke. We'll discuss it later, how I didn't think it was appropriate. And then you have that, like, parental talk afterwards. But he's, like, blowing up at the party.
He blew up at the party. They got into an argument because I think dad believed that she was going to be a little more understanding. And she was not. Uh-huh. Apparently, she doubled down.
Well, it's the end of the party now, because that's when the cake comes out. So I'm sure she's like, how many drinks in?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Right? I'm looking at my dad being like, you should be offended if it said, like, worst blank ever. Like, that's really what you should be proud of your daughter. No, I can see my parents being very uncomfortable with this because my parents are very, very, like, buttoned up. They wouldn't like a joke like this. but it's her birthday. It's not like I ordered the cake. I think my parents would be more offended if it was me bringing that cake into the party. But if they're like, all right, we know Julia. She's always like cracking jokes, cracking dirty jokes like this. Then you just got to let her live her life. She's 27 years old. She's an adult. They're going to make these weird, dirty jokes at a birthday party.
And some of the dads online were saying that. Some of the dads were like, yo, I wouldn't have liked it, but it's her birthday. It's not her fault. She's 27. I mean, we're adults here. You know, deal with it. While other dads were like, they expected her to go to her friend and say, this is inappropriate. Like, my parents are here. And what happened to the times when you would have, like, two different parties? Like, that's the cake that's supposed to come out when it's just you and your girls. And, you know, the other cake is supposed to be there when your grandmother and your mother and your dad is at the party.
I want to know what the family cake said. Like, most wholesome daughter ever.
Probably.
Like,
Happy birthday.
That always was safe.
Literally just said, happy birthday.
Yeah.
And I know, like, my friend self is different than my parent self. And it's not like you're two different people. You just behave slightly differently when you're around family or parents than you do when you're around your friends. It's not to say one is inauthentic or not, but you just know your audience. You know what is going to fly. You know what doesn't. You know what's going to offend. You know what doesn't. So in this instance, okay, yeah, maybe the friends should have had better reasoning and logic than bring that, you know, cake out. But it happened, whatever. Him going off. So he leaves the party.
He leaves the party. Him and the mom leave. And then apparently the argument kept going to the point where they ain't even talking like anymore.
What?
Yeah, like that was the update that the mom and, I mean, dad and daughter are still to this day not talking because dad is peeved and the daughter is peeved now. So the daughter's mad that dad got mad. Like, you ruined my party. And dad is mad. Like, how could you possibly be mad at me for being uncomfortable at seeing something like that?
Oh, geez.
So they're butting heads over the cake.
Over a cake that said what again?
Best blank ever. I ain't saying it.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I really love the fact that even though John Cena got a little emotional on live television, I'm really proud and happy that he spoke up because I think more men need to do this. So I saw this clip from the Pat McAfee show, and Pat McAfee's like this big sportscaster who's kind of unconventional from what I can tell for by sure. Like ESPN standards. Like, I'll see a clip of Pat McAfee and even I'll watch it because I know it's going to be entertaining. He's not like a guy who's going to be in a suit all buttoned up, and he's not going to be very like conservative. Like, it's going to be a really fun kind of Gen Z leaning show, I think.
He's the first person that made ESPN come to him, so he can do whatever he wants. He had his own show first, so he curses. He does whatever he wants to, and ESPN accepts it because they asked him to come on ESPN.
Oh, I love that. Mm. He's a girl boss, so he's very eccentric. He's very eccentric. So John Cena was on his show, and John Cena starts going on this rant about the fans and about the audience and how they have given him a hard time, I guess, for this bald spot that he has on the back of his head. And I guess they quite literally bullied him into getting a hair transplant.
Thank you for being so aware of my needs and emotions, because you guys ripped me to shreds for a genetic problem that I can't control.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
Hey, dude, you don't look good enough out there. Like, that's what I'm saying. This isn't cool. You guys aren't cool to me. Like, this isn't. Why do you think I did? I'm in the Rumble, you know, trying to win, and like, hey, how's the bald spot? Like, yo, that's not fair. I can't control that. It happens to 7 out of 10 dudes. Like,
hold on, though. Their hair shaming of you has made it what? Better, I think. You went and made some plays. Hair's growing in full.
I get it. Yo, I get leaning into uncomfortable stuff is like, hey, maybe if you got a good friend and they tell you, like, maybe don't wear that out.
Bingo.
That's cool. One of you sons of could have pulled me to the side. No, but in unison, you chant and you make me feel small and you embarrass me. Like, y'all don't know what that's like. That is straight up bullying.
You're
it
right,
is. And that's,
you're right.
That's just not cool.
I don't like it.
That's not cool.
Hair look good, though, if it means anything.
Yeah, so thank you for bullying me into getting surgical hair replacement. Like, jeez. That's how far y'all pushed me. I just appreciate that.
Even though I know he's really emotional about it, I think it's important for men to show those vulnerabilities, because I think we don't joke with women the same way, because women speak up about the fact that, like, if you make fun of my body or something about that, I'm going to say something because I don't want you to do that. But I think men sometimes can, like, internalize it, so we think those kinds of things don't hurt them. But I could really tell in this clip that John Cena was bothered by the fact that people for years were making fun of his little bald spot.
Was it uncomfortable for everybody else? Like, could they tell, like, or were they just trying to joke their way out of it?
I think they were trying to joke their way out of it. I didn't get a sense that it was uncomfortable. The only person to me that seemed like they were emotional in a negative sense was John Cena.
It makes sense because there's a lot of times when, as a man, especially if you go to like your male friends to try to speak to something that you're vulnerable about, they just gonna joke you through it, and you have to joke about it whether you want to joke about it or not. So I get where he's coming from. It's tough. And since this is a safe space for men now, I found four grays the other day. I'm not doing so well.
No.
Yeah, it begins.
You need a hug?
I do. I'm four grades in. It's bad.
Where were they located?
Can we see
that?
Two on the top, one on each side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
from the chin up.
Oh, that's what you're
asking. Yeah, that's what you're asking. Because from here, I can't see.
Yeah, no, upstairs. I'm still safe everywhere else. Upstairs.
Okay, so are you feeling, I want you to know, don't feel pressured to dye your hair.
No.
I'm not feeling safe anymore.
I am curious, though, hanging out with your bros, if you're hanging out with a group of guys, has anybody ever, in all your years of hanging out with just a guy group, called somebody out for taking it one step too far with a joke? Has anybody ever been like, and not like gotten mad and like chest up, but like honestly was emotionally vulnerable and said, hey man, that hurt my feelings?
Absolutely.
They have.
Absolutely. That's happened.
That makes me proud.
That's happened. Unfortunately though, if I'm being honest, the majority of the time that happens, they laugh at you for doing that too.
Really?
That's a
pile on. Because you're in your feelings now. Oh, you in your feelings? Oh. I know you're not being sensitive. Like you don't get a safe space as a man in a lot of different rooms.
Bless.
Mm.
Well, this is maybe a safe space.
This is sometimes a safe space.
It hasn't been for a very long time.
All right. The Oscars are announcing a new rule for 2026 voting, and you won't believe what they haven't enforced for the last 97 years. It's on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, so I know one person does, but I'm wondering if anybody else has an item that an ex gave you. So this is a gift from an ex, maybe sentimental. Well, obviously it's sentimental because you're still holding on to it, right? But your current, the person who you are dating now, has found out that said item was from an ex.
Oh.
And they are requesting that you get rid of it. Do you stand on business and be like, no, this is nice. This is something like, it's not representative of the relationship, but, well, no, it is representative of the relationship, but it's not that I love this person anymore. It's just, you know, like a memory, like a photo of our relationship.
Well, sometimes it's not. Like, what if I was dating a really rich man? I wasn't, but what if I was? And he got me like a Rolex or something. Am I supposed to get rid of the Rolex because it was given to me by my rich ex-boyfriend that I never had?
Not if your new man can't afford one.
Yeah, exactly. So when that old man took me to New York and bought me a really nice coat and a hat and a Tiffany bracelet, do you think I still have it? Yeah.
You don't look at it with fondness. It was that weird old man.
Right? 1,000%.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like, do you have a sentimental attachment? Like, I remember buying lingerie for an ex, and I was like, this is nice and expensive. I am not getting rid of this. I finally did when I didn't fit in it anymore. I had jewelry. I mean, I lost it. It was from like Wally World, but still, you know, it's like I looked at that stuff and I'm like, these are objects. I think it's like when you start pining over it, or you're like, it smells like him. If it's a sweatshirt or something, that's when it's not okay.
All right. So producer Katie, you find yourself in this conundrum, huh?
I do, but I feel like this situation is a little bit different, and here's why. So I was having just a regular conversation with my friends, and they pointed out my ring, and they're like, hey, Katie, we never asked you. Did you ever tell your girlfriend the history about your ring?
Why would you do that?
Why would I? Exactly. So for
did, a did background, they ask in front of her?
No.
Okay,
no,
so
no,
this
no,
is
no.
private.
Yeah, this is a separate conversation. So for those who don't know, I have a ring that I wear on my middle finger. It's a silver ring, and it is engraved with the Lord's Prayer, and there is a cross in the middle of this ring. I wear this ring every single day, and it just so happens that my ex did give me this ring. However, she gave me this ring years after we broke up, and I look at this ring as my ring of protection because she took a trip to Europe, and she went to the Vatican, and on Sundays, you can get items blessed by the Pope.
Sure can.
And so she had this ring blessed by the Pope. So every single day I wear this ring because I look at it as my ring of protection.
It's God's ring. You have to.
The Pope is dead now. Does that mean it's expired?
Hey,
that's not how that works, Abby.
Oh,
maybe it's time to get rid of it.
That was Abby. That was me, Lo.
So years after your relationship ended, your ex went and got you a piece of jewelry blessed by the leader of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's not normal ex behavior.
But we were friends after we broke up still.
Mm-hmm. But was this a move? Was she trying to was she trying to get back out of the friend zone and into the relationship zone with a blessed ring by the Pope?
I don't believe so. Because after we broke up, she had moved on and stuff like that. I think this was genuinely platonic. She wasn't trying to find her way back in.
Okay, so you have a blessed ring by the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we're having this conversation, I'm assuming your girlfriend found out subway somehow.
Yes. So here's the thing. They're hounding me. They're like, Katie, you should tell her. Now, when my girlfriend asked me about this ring, I told her a friend gave it to me. Like, that's the first thing I told her. Didn't feel like I needed to go into depth about it. And I left it at that.
You didn't tell her that it was blessed by the Pope?
Well, yeah, I told her it was blessed by the Pope. Yeah. But I just said it was
your ex too.
See, that's the part I didn't want to say. It was a friend because it was after we had broken up. And so my friends were like, no, you need to tell her that that so-called friend was also your ex. And so then I started having second thoughts about this. Like, should I tell her that? And then they're like, well, no, it's too late now. You can't go back and tell her. I'm like, then why did y'all bring this up in the first place? Right. Lo and behold, I just ended up telling my girlfriend because I'm like, now it's weighing heavy on me. And now I'm starting to think, am I wrong for not telling her where this ring came from?
So they got it in your head big time.
Oh, huge. They definitely got in my head about this.
So she's already asked you about the ring. Oh, mm-hmm. Hey, beautiful ring. And you gave the details and you neglected in that moment to share that it was from an ex.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you tell her, it looks like you feel guilty about something and you have to come clean.
Yeah. So... I told her the whole scenario, though, of how it came up. Like, I told her the whole conversation that I had with my friends and stuff like that. And she said that she didn't feel any type of way about the ring. That's what she said initially. She's like, you don't look at the ring and think of your ex. You look at the ring and see it as this, you're a blessed ring, your ring of protection. So she's like, that's different. She's like, a different story if you saw it another way. And I was like, exactly. So I thought we were okay. And I thought we moved past it. But then days later.
But.
She looks at the ring and she's like, what if I replace the ring? Would you get rid of the ring?
How are you going to beat a ring blessed by the Pope?
So that's what I said. I was like, you know, this ring was blessed by the Pope.
She know Jesus? That's the only way you're up in one up in the Pope.
I mean, they say he's on the main line, but I don't know what she mean. Like, I don't know. So she's like, no. What if I get it blessed by somebody else? I'm like, the Pope?
Oh, no.
Over the Pope? Like, I don't... So she's really like, I want to replace this ring.
No.
I can have it blessed some other way. Would you wear it, the new ring? And I'm like, I'm not getting rid of this ring. It was blessed by the Pope. But now it's like, am I wrong for that? Because she really wants to replace the ring?
One, I don't understand why this conversation ever needed to be had. I think some things are fine just unsaid. Again, if you looked at the ring and you thought of your ex every time you looked at it while you're dating somebody else, well, then that's some kind of mental infidelity or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you look at it and you think about your faith and your ring of protection. So I think you got to stand on business. And I'm like, I wouldn't get rid of the ring.
I have a ring that an ex gave me, and my girl knows. And she, when I told her, she didn't care. If she did care and she asked me to get rid of it, I would have. No, but no problem.
But what if it had been blessed by the Pope?
I'd get rid of it.
Really?
Wow.
I don't care that much. If the person I'm with in my life now is bothered by something that is attached to somebody I was with before, it's just not a hill I'm willing to die on. It's
really?
Gone. Yeah, I wouldn't care.
Katie, right. I think you should get rid of the ring. And then I think you should make your girlfriend take you to Italy on a nice 7-day trip. Go to the Amalfi Coast. And then at the end of it, get it blessed by whoever the new Pope is going to be.
Yeah, actually, that is the only way you can replace that ring.
You want new Pope energy?
Yeah. New Pope energy. telling you, this subscription expired.
Your I don't know if he has the same
right
way.
Yeah.
Has three choices. Live and let you live with the ring. To get you a ring for your other hand so y'all both, she has representation on your hands. Or three, yes, take you to Italy and get you a new ring from the Pope and she has to fund the trip.
Four, she can give you an ultimatum.
They do have a really nice gift shop. They do have a really nice gift shop at the when you go to the Vatican, because I have a rosary blessed by a nun. They literally just have a wall of stuff that's been blessed, and you can buy it at the Vatican.
There you go.
Shop. So I just got to go get something new blessed.
They seriously do.
Capitalism is insane.
This is, hey, but we're protected.
This is not protected. What Jesus died for.
The Burt Show.
Last year, she got to celebrate that her frontal lobe had fully developed. And now this year, she just gets to celebrate being 28. Happy birthday, Evan!
Hey, hey.
The only thing I get this year is having to say that I'm in my late 20s. I don't want to. I don't want to grow up. I don't want to be a real adult.
Yeah, it's us.
Like 30 is just looming over me. Like, your time is up. No one will respect you as a woman anymore. You have 2 good years left. It's like the internal monologue in every woman in their 20s head. Like, life expires at 30. Enjoy it while it lasts.
No, so oddly enough, and you can choose to believe this or not, 20s were okay. 30s were good. 40s have been great.
Everyone says that. I've heard really good things about your 30s. So
yeah.
I think the stigma around turning 30 is dwindling, which is good.
It should.
So now I'm like, let me rush through these last 2 years. Let me get to 30 ASAP. And then my parents really enjoyed their 40s. So I believe that it gets better and better. I have not heard good things about the 50s, though, I will say.
That's because I think our generations haven't hit the 50s yet.
You haven't hit the 50s
yet. They say time starts flying in your 50s. Like, once you hit 50 and on, it's that you could sneeze and a decade go by. That's what they say.
All of a sudden, I don't even want to think how old I'm going to be when Jimmy graduates from high school. I digress. But Abigail, you are 28 today, and you have some things you have learned over the past year.
Yeah, I've learned 8 things. Only 8 things in my last year of being in my mid-ish 20s. It's like mid to late 20s. So I figured I would bring all my wisdom and knowledge to the table, because obviously at the ripe old age of 28, I know everything now. That's it. Like, I don't need any more lessons. Thanks, Jesus. I'm good. Like, let's stop testing me. And I figured I'm over it. And I figured I'd bring some of these lessons to the table, just because I know there's a lot of people my age listening. And I feel like you can always get a good lesson no matter what age it's coming from. So the first thing that I learned in my 28 years of life, and I wish if I could go back and tell my 26-year-old, 27-year-old person, my 26, 27-year-old self something, which was yesterday, I would tell myself to stop using social media to diagnose yourself. Oh my God. Oh, I'm a hypochondriac. And also, I think just in your 20s, like, you're always looking to pinch pennies and to not spend money where you can. And I was going through some weird health stuff last year. And I think when you go down TikTok, it starts to become like WebMD, where they start giving you all these vague symptoms. And then all of a sudden you have like 7 different autoimmune disorders. No, go to your doctor. You pay a stupid amount of money for health insurance. Health insurance, albeit a scam, but the only way you can get the most out of that scam is to go to your doctor and have them run every test that your insurance will cover. And then it turns out, if you feel like you're going through something, probably tests are going to show that. So that's what I found out last year. I'm anemic. I thought I was treating it well. Apparently I'm not. So I'm glad I got those labs taken care of, because I feel so, so much better since actually going to the doctor and using my health insurance.
Fabulous. Very adult lesson. I love it.
Very adult lesson. Speaking of penny pinching, I feel like my second lesson is that I saw this on Pinterest somewhere. It was like Socrates or maybe somebody else.
One of them.
Socrates from Pinterest.
Socrates from Pinterest.
He's got some bangers, man.
Uh-huh. Aristotle. But I saw this quote that said, "He who pays cheaply usually pays twice." Mm-hmm. And while I do think it's important to be frugal and to not overspend in areas where you don't need to overspend, if you are in a financial place to be able to upgrade a little bit to buy something that is going to be worth the money, then do it. Because more than likely, if you pay for something like fast fashion or other things that are maybe cheaply made, like maybe you're paying for a hotel, but it's a little bit farther away, but then you're going to start paying for Ubers to get to the middle of town. Like, sometimes making that larger investment up front is going to pay off in the long run. So just pay a little bit more if you can.
I never heard that one, but that's good.
I know, really hits home. The third lesson I learned is that spending a lot of money is usually a gamble, but you're gut will tell you if that gamble is worth it or not. So if you're looking at a big purchase and you're like, ooh, I feel like my gut is telling me to do this, then, you know, even though it's a lot of money and it's scary, you should do it. But if you're looking at that and your gut is going, don't do it, but your mind is like, well, it'd be really fun to do that thing. It'd be really fun to get that purse or whatever. Go with your gut. Again, if you can financially afford it. Okay, off the topic of money, the fourth one I've learned has to do with relationships. And I feel like this is just something that only time can teach you, especially for women. And I feel like once that frontal lobe develops, you stop idolizing people that you have romantic feelings for. I feel like in your younger years, it is so easy to put guys up on pedestals and you just do stupid things for them. When in reality, like, that's just a dude. That's just somebody's son. And even though you think he's X, Y, and Z, you just, a crush is just a lack of information. So go with that.
That men go through that too. Trust me when I tell you.
Definitely have learned to stop idolizing people because, you know, everybody is very, very flawed.
What's also, yeah, it's about managing your expectations. Because yes. If you constantly, people always get this twisted. So I'm not telling you to lower your standards. I'm telling you to manage your expectations. And so if you have these ridiculous expectations for everybody in your life and yourself, or if you have these expectations that people are going to react the way that you do, then you're constantly going to get disappointed. And that doesn't mean you're going to let people walk all over you. It doesn't mean that you're, you know, letting people skirt by with the bare minimum. No, you're managing your expectations that way when they show you who they really are or whatever flaws they have, you're not going to fall so far from, you know, the heavens, and you're going to be able to pick yourself up and be like, yeah, I probably could have seen that coming.
Exactly. All right. My fifth lesson is something I actually heard you say. So thank you for transitioning well into my fifth lesson.
I would hope by my 40s, I got something for you.
You at one point said that it's important to be ambitious in more than one area of your life. And that literally changed my brain chemistry, because I think especially as somebody who has had to learn not to rely on people, it is very easy to put all of your ambition eggs into one basket, because that's the ambition you can control. Like for me, my career for the most part is the one thing I can kind of control in my life. I mean, obviously lots of factors in life when it comes to your job and whatever, but for the most part, like that's the thing I have control over. But I want to be more ambitious in my social life. I want to be more ambitious as a family member and a cat mom and all these other things. So I'm trying to see ambition as more than just a way to make money or a way to achieve status or blah, 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 blah. My sixth lesson is that if you're seeking validation or joy from any kind of outside source, that should be a check engine light for you to evaluate why you're trying to outsource your happiness. So if I'm trying to go for a relationship because I think it's going to make me happy, what is going on in my life as to why I'm like looking for some dude to, like, I don't know, bring me happiness or make me laugh or something? Like if I'm looking for that, then I need to really check in on my life and see what I could be doing to actually just bring happiness into my own life.
Absolutely. My favorite question, getting to the bottom of the why.
Mm-hmm. The seventh lesson is that you got to do the things you can only do at 27, because one day you're not going to get invites to random parties and there will be bars that you are too old for one day. So I'm trying to say yes to more things. If people ask me to go out, I'm trying to remember I'm only 27 or 28 for so long. Do the thing that only you can do at 27 and 28 before it gets weird.
Yeah, because I'm telling you right now, when you get to a certain age, you don't want to do those things anymore.
Leaving the house is hard.
It's so hard. It's expensive. Outside is expensive. Thanks. And then my last lesson that I've learned in my 27, 28 years of life is that you cannot stop time. You cannot stop your life from changing or other people's lives changing. And you'll be a happier, more fulfilled person if you embrace it rather than trying to cling on to the past. I do not like change. I do not like other people's lives changing. I am a control freak, but I think it's important to embrace every season of life you're in. And a part of that is embracing the season of life that other people are in as well.
So. Very good.
Those
lessons.
Really good. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Abby.
Thank you,
happy
Pinterest birthday. And Socrates.
The Burt Show.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Give me just a minute and I'm going to explain the upset journal and what that means and how it might tarnish the chemistry that's on this show. But, you know, for the bit. Now, this interview has been going viral. It's all over the internet. Mo, I know you saw this and were floored.
I really was.
At how in sync these twins are. So two sisters gave an eyewitness account after a carjacker caused a deadly crash in Australia yesterday. And these identical twins, and they are older women, I'd say like maybe in their 50s or whatever. And they're two identical twins sitting there getting interviewed by the Australian news. And they are, Bridget and Paula are completing each other's sentences left and right.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum. He went up there and he was coming back down towards us. And he goes, run, he's got a gun. And our heart started to pound. And I said, oh, mum, where's mum? And poor mum was stuck up there. But apparently our brave mum, she goes, are you all right?
Because he had all blood all over his face.
And he goes, I'll shoot you. She goes, hey, I'm here to help.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was AI the first time I saw it. I genuinely could not believe that they were finishing each other's sentences like that.
They're like a hive mind. Yeah, not even like they were. At some points, they weren't even finishing each other's sentences. They were just talking in unison.
At the same time, like it was rehearsed.
But twins say that that's a thing, man.
So my father is a twin, and him, I called him after I saw this. Yeah. And was like, you and my uncle need to come on my podcast immediately because I need to see something.
I'm trying to test something out.
Yeah, I need to test something out.
All right. I'm about to introduce you guys to the Upset Journal. This might test the chemistry of the Burt Show, but we're just going to have to wait and see. Or maybe it'll cleanse the air about some stuff.
Is there something you just want to get off your chest?
Right. We all gotta say that.
Yeah, we all gotta do the bit, Kristen.
It's sitting behind me.
Are you the first person to write in the Upset Journal?
Yes, I am.
Why does the bike bother you so much?
Okay, so Bert is not here today. He is out. And I was going to explain this tomorrow because that was going to be the first thing in my Upset Journal. So really quick, I will explain because there is an e-bike that is sitting behind me. I'm sitting in Bert's spot today because behind the scenes, there's buttons you got to push and it's all over here on his side. And I have a better vantage point of seeing people so we don't talk over each other. I digress. His e-bike is behind me, and I will explain why this has driven me crazy. And he already knows this because I emailed both of his assistants and was like, can we get the bike out of here? And they told him. All right. So a survey found that 85% of employees have dealt with an annoying coworker. Of those, 58% reported that their productivity was negatively impacted. And then a separate survey indicates that 90% of Americans say, there was two different studies. 90% of Americans say they have a coworker who annoys them. So between 85 and 90%. So what we're going to do here on The Burt Show, starting now, everybody's going to pull up like a page in their notes and just keep a running list of any time somebody annoys you.
I'm writing something right now.
Go for it.
I don't want to do this bit.
Oh, I think I have my first one too, Abby. You just inspired me.
Did I annoy you with your homework assignment?
Yes.
So while you're here, or even like maybe you get a text or email, whatever it is, at any point in time, if there is a member of the Burt Show staff, whomever it is, full-time on air, not full-time on air, if something happens that irks you, that is irksome.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down.
Rebecca didn't get me a birthday present, and she's leaving me to see her boyfriend today.
The game hasn't started yet.
Oh, sorry. Now all of a sudden I like this game.
That's at the end of the week.
Hey, that sounded a little more personal than business. But so we're all just going to, and then on Friday, at this time on Friday, we are going to share some of the gripes that we have collected in our notes. Okay. I did see the survey and thought this would be, fun.
You did?
Fun?
That was the thought you had? Fun? What came to mind?
What is your idea of fun?
Girl, you need some hobbies.
I mean, right. Tell me about it. Oh, dude, complaining is one of my hobbies. So we're going to do this. Now, you ask like where the inspiration came from. And there is something that is sitting behind me that has been in studio for
weeks.
Almost 2 months now. It's been a long
time. Been that long?
No, it's been like a month. Maybe 6 weeks.
Maybe six, so a month and a half.
Yeah, because we were on vacation for a week. So, yeah.
So, okay. All right.
Week counts if it was here.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been here for a hot minute. And that is Bert's e-bike. Now, I feel unfair. Well, I guess,
wait. Sorry, to reestablish. I looked up the date, 1 month, and we weren't here for one of those weeks, so 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. It's been here 4 weeks, though.
Yes, but you haven't seen it for an entire week.
That is correct. Okay. It just feels like it's been here forever. So
I honestly forgot it was there.
You okay. Added a whole month.
She's like, 2 months?
I was like, that don't seem right. 2 months?
Oh, maybe now I understand why my husband thinks I exaggerate a little bit. Anyways, it's been in here for a very, very, very long time.
Got it.
Why is it bothering you?
Okay, so it's not the actual presence of the bike. It's what the bike represents.
The bike doesn't represent anything.
It does. Because this is how I equate it. Say that we are all roommates and we are living here together.
Okay.
And it just is... I feel like it's a lack of respect to your other roommates to have something in the room and that you feel your stuff is more important than everybody else's. That's the energy it gives to me.
To be fair, his name is on the wall behind you.
But this is a shared space.
Right.
This is all our studio. That's our workspace.
His space is the only one that gets respected. So, is it really?
Why is it any different from, and don't get me wrong, I love that you did this, but when you just decided to buy a bunch of furniture to bring in here and nobody else approved the design? Like, if he's going to use it, I mean, and, like, ride it back and forth, like, why is some approved and some not?
Because people were complaining about not having space to put their stuff and where to put things. And so I took it. Nobody else was going to do anything about it. And, no, you have a valid point. I should have ran it by everybody else.
I love your style. I don't care. Bring more furniture. It's a big help for me.
But I went through, obviously, the person that approves it and... the person that buys it. Mm-hmm. And so that was the approval I got. But if anybody didn't like it, oh my God, it would have got sent back ASAP and we would have replaced it. If somebody had wanted to voice it, like if somebody said, hey, I don't want this, it doesn't give me enough room, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, no problem.
Ain't nobody telling you that.
Why not?
Because this is your studio just as much as it's his. If you bring something in here, no, I guarantee, who in here would tell Kristen if they didn't like the furniture she brought? No one.
Kaylee would.
Yeah. Kaylee would. You got one person. But anyway, we're getting off topic. That's a different story. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, but I'm just like, if you bring something in here that takes up a lot of space in the studio, I feel like it is a shared space and we should all respect the shared space. That's why it drives me crazy.
Okay.
And it also comes from having roommates. Oh, the light just went off.
You were the dirty dishes in the sink girl, right?
I went 1,000%. I was Hannah. Oh, I got so many notes from Hannah when I was in college. When I moved to Raleigh, I lived with the girl that worked in promotions. Okay. I got a townhouse, rented a townhouse, and she needed a place to stay. So we lived together, didn't know each other, lived together, worked together. It was a huge, huge mistake. Nice girl, but she had a mountain bike that she kept in the dining room all the time.
No. That would annoy me so much.
Trigger. Yeah. So it was at Thanksgiving and my family was coming to visit. And so I moved the dining. I moved the dining room. I moved the bike.
She was really angry.
Yeah. Again, small townhouse. It's not moving. So I just freaking like therapeutically diagnosed myself.
Therapy in real time.
It is. So I moved the bike that she had been keeping leaned up against the wall in the dining room. I moved it to the storage unit. We had a storage unit outside on our deck. And I put it in there and I was like, she was so pissed.
What?
I got a very strongly worded letter never to touch her bike and never to move it. I guess.
A letter?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got a note.
That's
a note.
Crazy.
She was very upset that I touched and moved her bike. And so then we had a conversation about like the shared space and like, well, can we find somewhere else to put the bike that's not in the dining room, especially when I'm having family to come visit, blah, blah, blah. Let's just say after everything was said and done, when she moved out and her parents came to help her move out, I stayed upstairs in my room the entire time. And it did not come down until I heard the door shut and knew they were gone.
That feels like an overreaction.
A little bit.
Yeah. No, so, not you.
The bike lady seems she's overreacting.
So that is why. That is why there is a visceral reaction to the bike because it takes me back to Raleigh, North Carolina. Yeah.
So let's do this. He never noticed when we wore the same outfit 5 days in a row. Let's move the bike right now.
No.
We're not going to get it stolen. We'll move it into the back Burt Show office where he doesn't go. So it'll be safe and locked up. But See how long it takes him to notice his bike's gone.
I already did that. He moved it back in.
Oh, dang it!
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
The Oscars are announcing a new rule for 2026, and you will not believe what they haven't enforced for the last 97 years. But before we get into that, I have a fun fact about the Pope that just died.
That's a fun fact?
You both have really different ideas of fun.
It is a fun fact.
You're really leaning into that questioning my religion bit, huh?
Yeah, just taking a full swing at it. But apparently, the Pope used to be a bouncer back in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
What?
This popped up on my spreadsheet where, you know, they have all like the entertainment information. And I saw this and I thought, oh my gosh, he's kind of a baddie. Like he used to protect people outside the club. So not only that, but he's also gone on the record and said that he would baptize aliens if they ever came from outer space. He's like, that's what the Lord would want. So yeah, that's what I would do. So okay. Rest in peace, Pope Francis.
Because it is his universe.
Nope. It really is. Okay, back to the Academy members and the new rule that they're enforcing for 2026. I cannot believe that this has not been a rule before. I feel like when it comes to voting on the Oscars, if you're a part of the Academy, you are very well respected in the industry. That's why you're a part of the Academy. That's why they trust your opinion and your vote, and they trust you to do the right thing and to make the right decision. Did you know that in the 97 years of holding the Oscars, they have never been required to watch all of the movies all the way through?
This blew my mind yesterday when I saw this.
Are you serious?
When I saw that they were finally instituting this rule, I'm like, then what the heck were they voting on? Like, how can you vote on something you did not see?
Well, some of those winners are starting to make a little more sense.
Now, it makes you wonder what kind of politics are involved. Like, are people getting paid to vote for certain movies? And that's why all of those big budgets, like, for example, Anora is the one that really swept the Oscars this year. And I actually watched it while we were on break. It's a really solid movie. Would I have seen that movie and gone, yes, picture of the year, that one right there, especially after seeing, you know, Wicked or whatever. And when you find out that they have these massive $1 million budgets to campaign for the Oscars, more so than the original budget for the film, because I think the budget was like $6 million, and then they spent something crazy like $16 million on campaigning. It makes you wonder where that money's actually going to, you know, especially if they don't have to watch the movies all the way through. So they haven't talked about how they're going to enforce it, but it is going to be a rule for the 98th year of the Oscars that the Academy has got to watch the movies they're voting on, every single one of them all the way through.
It's about time. That's unbelievable.
But how are they going to make sure they do that?
I don't know. Maybe they're going to give them like a pop quiz, like a Quizlet or something.
I sit in a room with them. That's the only way.
My favorite thing is, you know, there's a group text between some Academy members being like, this is BS. I'm not watching these damn movies. I ain't got time for this. Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that group chat.
Especially now that there's like 20 movies in the best film category.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Something that people also find very unfair is anybody who went to Usher's concert in Abu Dhabi, because he had to follow the rules of the UAE in terms of not violating public morality regulations. And he had to not do something that he typically does during his concerts.
Break up a marriage?
Yeah, they go for it. The UAE is putting their foot down and said that he couldn't do, well, I don't think they came out and specifically said that he couldn't do it, but his team obviously thought it was a very smart thing to do, to not do this cherry feeding stunt that he does during his concerts, mm-hmm. where he goes around with a big bucket of cherries and he goes around to all the women in the audience who are like, Usher, Usher, and he will dangle a little cherry in front of their faces and they'll grab it with their mouth in a very seductive and sensual way. I mean, it's a fun bit. If I was his wife, I'd be big mad. But apparently that crosses some kind of boundary for the UAE, so he had to get up on stage and apologize.
Well, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. No, I will not be giving out any cherries tonight. But I got nothing but love for you. In exchange for the cherries. In exchange for the cherries tonight.
Denied. Yeah. My cherry.
Shout out to Abu Dhabi, saving marriage. Well done.
They're like, we don't watch your love. We watch your cherries, Usher. All right, fans of Shannon Sharp are saying a new lawsuit against him has some suspicious timing. And I'm going to tell you why on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.